Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalms chapter number 12. Psalms chapter number 12. Verse number 1 starts out, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, with our tongue will we prevail? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in the safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side, when the vilest men are exalted." Heavenly Father, Lord, as we study your word tonight, as we, Lord, look at what you have to say, Lord, that our hearts would be pricked if this is speaking of us. But Lord, oh, encouraged as we know that you do watch out and that you are concerned for the condition of men, for the condition of the world today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. It starts out, and the psalmist starts with, "Help, Lord." And as he starts it out, his desire, and as we've looked, as we've studied through this, through different psalms throughout this year, with knowing where he goes for his help. And he gives a reason in verse number 1 why he here needs help. So many times previous or later on in the Psalms, he cries out to God because he's being persecuted, because he's seeing the wicked do things against him. But here he's crying out because the godly man ceases. As I was growing up, and you'd have preachers stand up after a great man of God has passed away and stand up in the pulpit and go, "Who's going to replace him?" And we see even today that the preachers of old, the men of old that have stood on the word and stood for God over the centuries would appear to be ceasing. The first part of the verse is similar to Abraham's prayer for Sodom. In Genesis chapter number 18, verses 23 through 33, he starts out with, after God tells him he's going to go destroy Sodom, Abraham puts himself in the face of the Lord and says, "Well, Lord, if there's 50 righteous, will you destroy it?" And he gets down to just a handful of people. And God says, "No." And then God is unable to even, in those two cities, find that. And the psalmist here is saying, "Lord, the godly man ceases." In 1 Kings chapter number 19, verse 14, he says, and he said, "I have been very jealous." Elisha is talking to God, and he's complaining to God. We have to be cautious that we don't take this verse and go, "This is the way it is today. We're the only ones where nobody else is standing for the Word of God. Nobody else is standing for Jesus. No, and everything is just going." And Elijah is having this in 1 Kings 19. He says, and he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." This is just a short time after he had called the prophets of Baal up onto the mountain and done the sacrifice of see whose God would answer prayer, and he had he had folks there with him then. Verse number 18 in 1 Kings 19, God answers him and says, "Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him." There is, God has always restrained Satan from entirely removing. But so many times, I don't believe that the psalmist is here saying, "Oh, I'm the only one left. Nobody else is around." I do believe that as he's looking around, he's going, it's as if the godly men are ceasing. Matthew chapter number 24, verse number 12, as God is instructing the disciples on the end times and the last days and the issues that are heading into. And he says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Oh, it's Jesus was describing a time that it would be, for all intents and purposes, today. But I believe that every time that iniquity abounds, that many back up and do less than they should. Isaiah 57, verse number 1 says, "The righteous perish, and no man layeth it to heart. Merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come." Knowing that one of these days the trumpet's going to sound, the dead in Christ shall rise, and then those of us which remain shall be caught up together. And all the stuff that will be brought about because of that, and many won't think that God was rescuing and taking care of. But when the righteous perish, and the merciful men are taken away, do we consider it? Do we take it to heart? Do we consider our own lives? Because even as the preachers, as I mentioned earlier, many times I heard when I was growing up, "Oh, who's going to replace them? Who's going to be the next so-and-so? Who's going to be the next so-and-so?" And I never cared for that because I don't believe that there was ever intended to be another Billy Sunday. There was never intended to be another one of any of those great men of God that have gone on to their reward, but there's always been an intention for us to be what God has asked us to be. Proverbs 20, verse number 6 says, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find it?" Lord, help. Have mercy, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. In Luke 18, verses 7 and 8, "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Help, Lord. As we see the condition of the world, we see all the issues going on just in our own city. Who can ignore the change in the atmosphere just over the past few years here in Albuquerque? And we cry out to God, and if we don't, we're making a mistake. But, oh Lord, help us, because we need His help in every aspect of our life, and especially as we see faith appear to fail from on the face of the earth. Even as already mentioned, that one of these days the trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Nevertheless, will the Son of Man, when he cometh, will he find faith on the earth? Or will he call us up out of whatever sin and stuff that we are involved in. Because the love of many shall wax cold. Believe even as the psalmist was concerned with the issues of his day. We ought to be concerned with the issues of our day, but not so much at looking at who's not here, but who is here. And what is God doing in us, and what are we doing for God? Verses 2 on forward, he starts talking about how they display issues and speak how they ought not to. In verse 2, they speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor. They speak idly or falsely. And we, if you take the first part in the godly man sees it, the faithful fail from among the children of earth, and then you go into verses 2 and 3, and you don't have to do very much channel surfing to find a religious channel on TV and hear that person preaching for very long before you realize that the psalmist almost had TV back then. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor. With flattering lips, with a double heart, do they speak. They have that inconsistent mind. James chapter 1, verse number 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And the same thing happens here when somebody, and we ought to be familiar with this, that somebody speaks vanity, somebody speaks with flattering lips, we have to be cautious. The same hand that is patting us on the back might be sticking us in the back later with it. Something. But then he answers in verse number 3, the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. The Lord will destroy them. The Lord will cut off those that speak great things. That have that whole speech pattern of talking about how there is so much in the world today that we ought to take advantage of. And the psalmist is saying, hey, God's going to cut that off. Peter talked about it, and then Jude talked about it. 2 Peter 2:18 says, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. And then in the book of Jude, verse 16, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. We can't trust somebody who's flattering and they're speaking of great things because they're double-minded in their attempts. Talking of our advantage, but only looking for their own. Verse number 4, he says, who have said, with our tongue will we prevail? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? This, and the who is Lord over us, that is not a new thought that just came up during David's time. Exodus 5:2, and the Pharaoh said, lo, said, who is Lord, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Job, long before Exodus, Job 21, verses 14 and 15, therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? Oh, the attitude of those who believe their own ways and believe their own words. Daniel chapter number 3, the last part of verse number 15, it says, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Nebuchadnezzar has built an idol, has commanded everyone to bow down to him. And we know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but his response was, and who is that God psalmist saw this long before that was ever written. He said, these folks who are saying, who is Lord over us? What a scary time that as the world goes, as the way the world will always go, worse and worse.
Yes.
That the church would come to a time where they say, with our tongue will we prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? We must be cautious in our speech, and we must be cautious in our speaking, that we just don't try and pretend like we have what is necessary outside of God. Verse number 5, he says, for the oppression of the poor, for the side of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. Isn't it great that as everything seems to be going wrong, and as the psalmist says, help, Lord, because it looks like everybody that is faithful, looks like everybody who is righteous is disappearing and being overwhelmed by the wickedness of the world. But God's response, now will I arise. As we see the world going the way that it is, I believe it's still possible for revival. But what's he coming to? If he arises up, who's he going to use? If he steps up and says, okay, I'm going to, what? Or is he going to have to raise up a whole new generation? Isaiah 41 verse 17 says, when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. Verse number 6 then says, the words of the Lord are pure words.